today to preach. And we invite everyone here for coffee after church and fellowship. We're going to prepare our hearts and minds for a moment of silent prayer for this morning's service and reflect. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 118. Open for me the gates of righteousness, and I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. And our opening hymn is, hang on, The Power of the Cross. All glory. That's what it is? Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Just care. sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Did that grace appear the hour I first believed? My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long. Toils and snares I have already come. Disgrace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. My chains are gone, set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood his mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. When we shining as the sun, we've no less things to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Good morning. You know, there's a promise in Scripture where Jesus says, when two or more are gathered in my name, that he's here with us also. So Jesus is present here this morning, and just hear his greeting this morning. To you who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As God has greeted you, take time to greet one another. And then we'll break that up with the song, The Power of the Cross.
Thank you.
dawn of the darkest days, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful man, torn and beaten and nailed to a cross of wood. 'Tis the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath we stand forgiven at the cross. Oh, to see the pain written on your face, bearing the awesome weight of sin. Every bitter thought, every evil deed, drowning your blood-stained brow. 'Tis the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath, we stand forgiven at the cross. Now the daylight flees, now the ground beneath quakes at the Maker bows its head. Curtain torn in two, death arise to life, finish the victory cry. The power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame for the wrath we stand forgiven at the cross. My name written in the wounds, for through your suffering I am free. Death is crushed to death, life is mine to live, won through your selfless love. The power of the cross, Son of God, slain for us. What a love, what a cost, we stand forgiven at the cross.
Hear now God's will for our lives. From Romans 1, verse 17. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Let's pray. Father, your word says that the Holy Spirit comes to bring conviction of sin. And we thank you for that gift of conviction. We thank you that your Holy Spirit points out sin in our lives, but that you then also point us to the cross for full forgiveness of our sins in Jesus because of what he suffered, because of his blood. And God, just thank you that we get to live lives now of righteousness by faith in Jesus, by what he has done. And God, if there's any lingering sin in our life, we pray for the Holy Spirit to come, to point it out, root it out, so that we can be done with it. We can repent, confess, and have it removed and be cleansed, Lord. So we pray for that, Lord. We just want to be ready to receive your forgiveness when we need it. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And hear now the assurance of pardon from 1 John 2, verses 1 to 2. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate from the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. As a hymn of response, let's sing Mighty to Save, followed by the children's message.
Compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Yes, you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
I invite the children to come forward now for the children's message. Are they there? I'm here. Okay. Okay. So I've got some things here in the bag to show you, and I'm going to ask you a question. So what kind of truck is this? Yes?
A fire truck.
Fire truck, right. Now, when would you see a fire truck, like driving fast down the road? What are the different situations? Yes?
If there's a fire,
you might see a fire truck. Are there other times when you see a fire truck going fast on the road? Yeah, sure. Yeah, sometimes they respond to emergencies. Sometimes you see them at a car accident. I think there's just, it's fires mostly, but it's other kind of rescue situations. Okay, one more. Okay, what about this one? Yes. Yeah, this is a police car. You might see it going quickly if maybe someone's speeding. Sometimes you see that. Probably a lot of reasons. Yes. Yeah, someone robbed a bank or robbed a store. So sometimes they're chasing after people who have broken the law. That's true. What else? Yeah, other emergencies too. I mean, I know sometimes police are after people who have broken the law, but sometimes they're there to help out in a situation too. So sometimes police save people as they keep the law. Now, as I said, they'll be driving really fast. You'll see a fire truck or a police car. What's the sound that it makes? Yes? Siren, yeah. And it's a little bit different, a police car and a fire truck siren, but they both make a loud siren. And that means that everybody knows though there's an emergency and everybody has to, the other cars get out of the way, and then the police car or the fire truck can get to the situation quickly. There's one other one, and I wasn't able to find one. What else has a siren? I'm trying to pick someone I haven't heard from yet. Yes, you. Yeah, ambulance makes a siren too. An ambulance is also for emergencies or to take someone to the hospital and that. So when you hear a siren, it's kind of sad in one way because it means somebody's in trouble, right? But also when I see a police car or a fire truck or an ambulance, I'm also grateful because it means if I'm ever in trouble, there are people who will come and help me. There are experts, you know, life-saving experts or whatever. But you know what the Bible promises? When Jesus comes back again, there'll be no more death or pain or mourning or crying. No one will ever get sick. No one will ever get hurt. No one will ever break the law. And you know what that means when Jesus comes again? It means one day there'll be no more sirens. We're not going to need police cars. We're not going to need ambulances. We're not going to need fire engines. We're not going to need earthquake sirens. All those things are going to come to an end when Jesus comes again. So we're looking forward to that. And can we thank God for that right now? I'm just going to pray. Yeah. Thank you, God, for the promise that one day there will be no more sirens, that all the trouble, the pain, the sickness, the crying to death that happens now, Lord, that one day when Jesus comes, it will all come to an end. There'll be no more of that. The curse will be finally broken. So we thank you for that, Jesus, and we look forward to you coming again. Amen. Okay, you can go off to your Sunday school now. Will you join me in the prayer for illumination, please? Father God, we're eager to hear from you, and we believe that you're eager to speak to us as well. And so we open our hearts to you, and we pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to us through the word and the message, and may we be changed, may we be encouraged and refreshed, and also just sprung into action, Lord, just from what we read here in this text. And God, we thank you that you desire to speak to us. And we just bring our listening ears and our listening hearts. We just surrender to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So like 2 weeks ago, it just says it's a Jesus-focused message again, which I know every message is Jesus-focused, but specifically. Just for the record, I usually do messages in a series, like we'll do a particular theme and kind of run through it for about four or five for a particular book. But just because as I'm visiting, I thought, why not just do John 3:16? Just come in, drop the gospel, drop off the gospel here, or proclaim it today. So we're going to talk salvation, we're going to read John, we're going to come across the, probably for most of you, pretty famous verse, John 3:16, and that's kind of like the text or the highlight verse, although there are other things we'll be looking at today as well. And it might not be anything new for you today, I don't know, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, I don't want to presume that, but I pray it's encouraging and it's refreshing for you, that because the joy of our salvation, we're supposed to have all of our lives, we get to have all our lives, and it's kind of like being in love with your spouse for your whole marriage, just and becoming more and more in love for your whole marriage. I mean, that is possible. And maybe some of you even get to enjoy that every day, more in love with the person you married. So it's the same thing with the joy of our salvation and just the good news of the gospel. It never gets old. It never gets stale. So I pray, amen. I pray for that today. So we're going to just jump right in John 3, starting in at verse 3. So this is our verse 5, I think. Verse 5. So this is Jesus talking to Nicodemus, and it starts out, they're talking about the new birth, and Nicodemus is kind of confused, like how can a person be born again? And then Jesus has the answer about the new birth, but then he goes into the salvation text as well. So right before, I'll read verse 4. Nicodemus says, "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things. Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly what they have done has been done in the sight of God." This is the word of the Lord. Okay. So this passage is about salvation. I mean, the famous kind of John 3:16, this is what it is to be saved. But Jesus is also talking about those who are saved and those who are unsaved. About a few times in there, he talks about there are some people who believe and who are saved from their sins, and there are others who do not believe and stand condemned for their sins. So there's a difference here, and in later on too, there's those who want to keep their deeds in the darkness and those who want them brought into the light, and so there's division in this passage here. And it seems the dividing line between those who are saved from their sins and those who are unsaved from their sins, it's all about belief. I mean, belief is the dividing line in this. It's all about believing. And so that sets the person's life down one course or down the other. So I want to look at that today, what it is to believe, what it is to believe the message of Jesus, what it is to put all hope, faith, and confidence in his name. Let me tell you about the freedom that you have in Christ. Okay, here's part of the freedom you have by believing in Jesus Christ. You have nothing to prove. And I'll say it again, you have nothing to prove. And do you know why? Because there's nothing you could prove. Okay, you can't bring any personal merit forward in this. It's all Jesus. It's all what he has done. We sang a lot about that today. I think we covered it's the righteous life he lived on your behalf. Now by faith in him, you have the righteousness of Christ. It's him dying to pay for your sins and him rising again to give you eternal life. It's all Jesus from first to last. That's why all confidence, all merit is from him. It's there's a lot of hymns that say it. I know there's one hymn that says, by thine all-sufficient merit. I think there's other ones that have that same phrase in there. But it's all Jesus. Like, that's just the load that I want to take off of you, refresh you if you need that today. Because there's a natural human question. As we come before God, especially as we become aware of his holiness, we all have this question. Am I good enough? Am I worthy enough? And you need to hear God's answer today. No, you're not. But Jesus is. And that's where our eyes go to, right? Yeah, he's the answer. He's the remedy for your unworthiness. Like, all have fallen short of the glory of God, right? If we look to ourselves, we're not going to have any faith or confidence. But if we look to him, we can put all our faith and all our confidence. And that's what Jesus is saying. It's about believing this. And that's why we put all our faith in him. It's an exchange of all self-confidence we might have had for 100% God confidence. It's everything. Hope, faith, trust in him, you know, and none in ourselves. We just kind of leave ourselves behind. I'm not even talking about putting ourselves down. It's just all hope, faith, confidence in him. It's looking to him. I don't have the worth and the merit on my own behalf, but Christ does, you know, and by faith in him, now I gain his merit. And this is humbling, but it's a good humbling, because it's what makes us safe and secure when we realize we couldn't save ourselves, we can't do anything for ourselves. And it humbles us, but it also lifts us up. You know, Psalm 3, verse 3, God is he's the lifter of our heads, it says. So our heads are lifted up when we come to him in humility. And it also says in Ephesians, I think it's somewhere in Ephesians 2, we're seated with Christ now in heavenly realms by our faith, by just our secure place in him. So, yeah, it's the way down, or the way up is first down, first coming in humbling. Now, if you just lose faith in yourself, which some people maybe do, I mean, they just kind of lose faith in themselves, and you don't find faith in Jesus, then it's not good news, right? If you're just hard on yourself, and you know that you're, you know, whatever, unworthy, sinful, whatever word you use, if you lose faith in yourself, but you don't find faith in Jesus, it's not good news. So the good news of the gospel is all faith, hope, and in Jesus. And kind of the other side of that, too, if you put faith in Jesus, but you keep some in yourself, that's not really good news either. That, you know, God mostly saves me, but then I also bring in a little bit of my own. The gospel is clear, and the gospel will have none of it. It's all faith in Jesus, and it's just simpler that way. Because otherwise it's confusion if it's some sort of spread between my merit and God's. And that's the call today. So our call is simply to believe it and put all confidence in God. As I say, this whole thing about your unworthiness, it's not good news unless you find the remedy. But when you find the remedy, that's the good news. Jesus and only Jesus. And let's look at the text, verse 15. Jesus he's talking about the bronze snake. So he's relating an Old Testament incident from Numbers 21. So the Israelites are in the desert, and they begin complaining and grumbling against God and their leader Moses. And so God sends a plague of poisonous biting snakes to the people as a punishment. And they cry out to him, and they ask for relief from they repent, and they cry out to him. And the remedy that God gives for these poisonous biting snakes is for Moses to make a bronze snake and put it on a high pole, and that anyone who's bitten by a snake can turn and look to the bronze snake, and they're immediately healed or cured, their life is saved. All right. So I know most people, or maybe some of you are familiar with that story of the bronze snake. Well, that's what Jesus uses as a comparison to him being lifted up on the cross. Just as Moses put the bronze snake up high, so the Son of Man will be lifted up. Scripture explains that being lifted up is him going up to the cross. And the remedy back in Numbers 21 for snake bite was really just one word. Look. Okay. And you're saved. You're cured. You're cured of snake bite. And it's the same thing with our sin, our sin problem. It's really a one-word remedy. Look. Just look to him. See Jesus. See Jesus is the answer and put all your faith in him. And it really is, I'm going to say it's that simple. I know it's a strange word. It's not small, but it is simple to put all your faith and all your hope, all your confidence, and all your trust in him. So yeah, God confidence, looking to Jesus, not looking at yourself. And I'll give a couple more, there's a few more texts that talk about this, just salvation, just kind of in one sentence. Oh, the other thing too is I'm going to talk about obedience today as well. But our obedience comes from our faith in God, right? The life of discipleship, our response to this. Romans 1 verse 5 talks about the obedience that comes from faith, okay? So our lives of obedience, they have to start with that faith in Jesus Christ 100%. And then the obedience that comes through faith comes out in our lives. So it's got to start with full trust in Him. Performance doesn't enter into it. Performance looks for personal merit, but we know it's by grace you've been saved. It's the gift of God, Ephesians 2, verse 8, probably a familiar text. And just to reinforce the simplicity, there's like three other texts I'll look at, very similar. There's a John 3:16, it's pretty famous. But John 6, 28 and 29. So these people ask Jesus, what must we do to do the works God requires? So what does God require of us is the question for Jesus. And maybe they're expecting like a big long list of things. And you know what Jesus' answer is? This is John 6, verse 29. The work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent. And He stops there. It's very similar to John 3:16. Believe in the one He has sent. That's the work of God. Similar story, Acts 16. If you know the story, Paul and Silas are in prison and they're singing hymns and it's about midnight. And this earthquake happens, and the doors open, their chains come off, and just there's a whole big brouhaha there. And the jailer runs in frantically, and because at first he thinks the prisoners have escaped, and then Paul says, no, we haven't escaped, don't kill yourself. Anyway, Acts 16, verses 29 to 31. The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, and here's the question, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and all your household. So it's a one-liner again. Again, this might be familiar, but I just want to refresh you in that. It's a one-line call for salvation. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your faith in Him. Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's often a similar rendering like that. And the last one I'll give you, Acts 2:21. This is Peter on the day of Pentecost, and he's quoting the prophet Joel from Joel 2. And he says, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So believe. Look only to Him. Okay. And there's something about belief which is really, I believe, all or nothing, I believe. It's which is all or nothing. Like you put your trust in what is said or you don't. Like if someone tells me a piece of information, I believe them, I believe what they're saying, and I sort of trust them, or I don't. Like, you can't half believe something. You can sort of gain confidence in something, maybe, but whether or not you believe it, it just kind of set. And I think there's a real simplicity to that. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it sends you on, as I said, the obedience that comes through faith. If you add things to do, you know, then you're moving away from belief, and which is maybe a temptation. But if it becomes, you know, Jesus mostly saves me, but then I also have to do things for myself, then it's no longer the gospel, and it's also no longer about believing. It's about now my works kind of save me somehow. Billy Graham, his favorite song, I think it was his favorite song, when he had his meetings and he did his altar calls, does anybody know what the song was that he would play as people would come forward? I hear people say, yeah, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And we just stop there. Now, here's the beauty and the freedom of that. If you get that, if Jesus saves me and only Jesus saves me, if you get that, now you're set free to serve Him. Now you don't have to do anything for yourself. If my needs are taken care of, now I'm released just to love and serve the one who saved me. And that's your call, right? We love and serve the one who saved us because we know we've been taken care of. If I'm somehow trying to help myself or help my standing with God, okay, now I'm doing good deeds for my own benefit, right? But if I know I'm safe, if I know I've been given all the help I need from God, okay, now I can serve God, I can serve others, I can serve the kingdom. I don't have to do anything for myself. That's the freedom. That's the beauty of believing the gospel. I don't have to help myself because I've been taken care of. I've got the best help in the world. Now I go forward. This isn't a perfect parallel, but just imagine this. Imagine you were a waiter or a server at an all-you-can-eat buffet. So if you had that job, it would be a good idea to make sure you eat well beforehand and then come into work. You know what I mean. Because if you come there and you're well fed and you're taken care of, now you can serve and give out with joy. You can happily give food to other people. But imagine if you worked there and you came there hungry and you have some need and you're trying to like happily give out and serve out this food at the all-you-can-eat buffet, but you have to work, right? It wouldn't have the same joy, okay? But just like the gospel, when you know you are taken care of, when you know, okay, I'm satisfied by what Christ has done, now I'm free to serve others. I'm not worrying about my own needs. I can just give out. So the gospel allows us to, it purifies our motives for serving God. Now it's all selfless. Nothing needs to be done for me, so I don't have to worry about taking care of myself. I mean, it's all for God. It's all for Him, for others, for His kingdom. Okay. So I want to now talk about the upward look as well. I don't know if I should carry this. I keep walking back this to see what my next point is, but some of it I have memorized. But anyway, hopefully you're following it all. But I want to talk now about the upward look, how it continues. Because we're saved, we receive our salvation kind of like an event in a sense by looking to Jesus. You know, look under the Jesus and you will be saved. But we also know there's a walk, right? There's a salvation walk. There's our lives as we live out. We work out our salvation. We walk out our salvation. You know, and in that too, the call in the Bible is to keep our eyes on Him. So we look to Him for salvation, and we look to Him as we walk it out, as we're set free to love and serve. So it's not that, okay, Jesus saved me. Now I go back to my own business, you know, trying to, no, it's just my eyes stay on Jesus. And I'm going to give you this heavenward, this upward look, give you some text to reinforce that. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance. Here it's a race, it's not a walk. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Okay. So how do we walk out our salvation? How do we run the race? Eyes constantly on Him. Okay, still looking at Him from first to last. It's like kind of like a Jesus at the finish line or Jesus calling me forward or whatever. We're looking to Him. Similarly, Paul, Philippians 3, verses 13 to 14, he writes, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Okay, so where's his focus again? Forward, heavenward. You know, he's looking forward. And that's his call. That's his walk or his run. As we call it here, that's his life of righteousness, that's sanctification going on. It's with eyes on Jesus. Two more. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Paul talks about, with unveiled faces, we contemplate the Lord's glory. Okay, we're looking at Him. We are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is Spirit. So while looking at Jesus, we're being transformed into the image of Jesus, is the word there. And you know, in 1 John 3:3, I'll say this. Our view of Jesus is incomplete, right? We don't see Him fully yet. 1 John 3:3 talks about that. We can't, you know, we kind of look in His direction. We have a revelation of Him, but it's not full and complete. But 1 John 3:3 says, just wanting to be like Him and knowing that one day we will be like Him, that hope purifies us. So we look towards Jesus, we want to be like Him, and we know that it's promised that one day we will be like Him. And that hope, it says, purifies us right now, just having that desire, you know, as we walk. So it's again, it's a look in His direction. It's look up the whole time. There are other texts about that too. I won't read them all. Philippians 3:20, talking about our citizenship is in heaven. We eagerly await for a Savior from there. Okay, so we're looking up. We're waiting for His return. And so that's all the call of God all of our lives, first for salvation from first to last. Because that's where we get our peace and our reassurance. It won't come from looking at ourselves. If we look at our own performance and how we think we're doing, that will not give us peace and reassurance. And it won't give us vision or inspiration either. I believe it's looking at Him that gives us the peace, the reassurance, the hope, and the joy, but then also the vision, the inspiration to go forward. As Paul says, I'm straining forward. I'm going. If there's any kind of measurement to our righteousness walk, to how we're progressing, it's that it's forward. Forward we go is the call in the Word. So when it starts with a look on Jesus and it continues with a look on Jesus Because all our lives, we're going by his merit. You know, and all our lives, it's for any sins we commit, we're looking to him, to the cross for forgiveness. So it's by faith from first to last. Now, lastly, I want to talk about the new birth and about hunger here. Because there's a couple topics that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about salvation, but he's also talking about being born again to Nicodemus. And it kind of confounds, like, born again, what's all that about? And Jesus says, well, you're Israel's teacher, and you don't even understand this. And I don't know, maybe it's being hard on Nicodemus, or maybe Nicodemus doesn't know the Old Testament scriptures. Because there's mention of that in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel and Jeremiah. But first, and I know being born again is a big topic, it could be a sermon series, but let me just try and deal with it succinctly here. We know when a believer puts their faith in Jesus Christ, they become a new creation. You're born again. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. So your call was to believe in Jesus and to put your faith in him. And when you've done that, it's like you're now a new type of creature, is the word, is the promise in there. The Holy Spirit is now the ruling influence in your life and in your being. So Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27, for example, was a place where this was promised. We read, this is God speaking, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Okay, that's verse 27. Okay, so that's, yeah, a new heart and a new spirit within me now move towards righteousness. That language is also in the New Testament, as we read today in John 3. It's also in 1 John 5, 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Born of God again, born again. And the Gospel of John, something similar, John 1, 12. To all who did receive him, that's Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So I know it's one big bundle I'm maybe throwing at you, but it's all hovering around John 3, 16. Is to believe in Jesus, you're born again, you're born of God, God becomes your father in relationship, and you're also born of the body of Christ, your believers, brothers and sisters, right? But it starts again with believing in Jesus, believing in his name, believing him as Savior, and now you're born again. Now you're living I know it's strange, from the outside you don't always see it, but we're living a new existence. Now the Holy Spirit is the deposit within us. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Like, I'm not even alive anymore, but Jesus Christ is the life force now living in me, and not just me, but all believers. What happens when we're born again? New desires. Romans 8, verse 5, those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. This is Romans 8. And then Romans 8, verse 14, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And so this is what is promised already in Ezekiel. You believe in Jesus, you're born again, you get a new heart, you get a new spirit, and now you get new desires. Your desire is now for righteousness. And that's part of just the answer to how we're driven towards obedience now, because we desire it when we're born again. And if you know, that's Romans 8. Some of you might know Romans 7. It's maybe sort of a famous passage about Paul struggling with sin. And if you don't know it, Paul says things like, the good things that I want to do, I don't do. And the evil things, the wrong things I don't want to do, I do. You know, and he's struggling. He's grieving about the sin that he's doing. But he says very importantly, I think it's verse 25, in my inner being, I delight in God's law. You know, I want to do what's right. And when I don't do what's right, I grieve. It's like he's fighting against his body. It's like his physical body is betraying him. But his desires, what he wants, is right, is pure. Like, he's not insincere. He wants to do what's right, and then when he doesn't, he grieves. He comes to God and repents. And he has his answer, but if you have been there, it's a comforting place to go to Romans 7. God, I want to do what's right, and I didn't do what's right. I'm not doing what's right. Help me. And here's Paul's answer. Who will save me from this body of death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay. So it's just important, and maybe you know this, but if you looked at Paul's outward appearance, if you looked at his, the actions he's doing, you might say, oh, I don't know, is he a believer? Is he saved? You kind of look on the outside. Maybe you wouldn't know. But inside, he says, I delight in God's law. And when I break God's law, I grieve. I'm sorry. I'm sad. I need salvation of Jesus. And he finds it in there. So just maybe as a word of grace for you too. I don't know if anyone needs it. You want to do what's right. You don't do what's right. You grieve. But inside, your inner being, in your inner man, as it's described, that's the Holy Spirit within you now desiring righteousness, which God promised all the way back in Ezekiel. And so just as a word of grace there, we will struggle with sin even as born-again believers. Again, that's a whole other sort of topic, sermon series, but I mean, it still happens. We also know, too, not to be cynical, but it's possible to have good outward behavior but have a corrupt heart, right? We just know that it's possible. And I think sometimes what can happen is, I'll set it up this way. The gospel is just such good news. It's almost too good to be true. And we're afraid maybe that God will be outsmarted. Maybe you're not, but I just say it's a temptation. Can God be outsmarted? Can a person just, you know, sin, ask for forgiveness, you know, on the basis of the gospel, then go back to sin, you know, and can the person get away with it? And can God be fooled? Can his grace be abused? And I think it's almost from that fear, maybe I'll say this cautiously, that sometimes the additional requirements are put in for salvation. Because in the flesh, in our natural minds, we're worried about God being outsmarted. Here's the good news today. God cannot be outsmarted. You can't abuse his grace. Maybe you already know that. Let me explain. Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 6. Sorry, not Matthew 5, verse 6. Matthew 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. So take this as a freeing, refreshing word. If you love Jesus, you will hate sin. And if you love sin, you will despise Jesus. And that's just, it's not, I'm not even saying that's against the rules. You can't love sin and you can't love Jesus. It's just, it's impossible. Jesus is saying you can't spread your love across two masters. So the one master you will love and serve, and the other one you will despise and hate. You know, and our call and our conviction and our new birth as believers is to love Jesus and to hate sin. And that's what we see in the text back in John 3. I think it's verses 20 and 21. He talks about there are people, and again, Jesus is making the division here between two groups. They're saved and unsaved. There are people who, when the light comes, they want to hide from the light and keep their sins. And so that they're, you know, they want to stay in the darkness so their deeds aren't exposed. Because it says they love darkness. I mean, it's their hunger. Or that they hunger, their hunger is towards that, towards sin. But then there are those who, when the light comes, they want their sins to be known and seen. Holy Spirit brings conviction. There's sin in my life. I want to get rid of it. I know this is what leads to death, and I don't want it. And so there's, again, that division between saved and unsaved. It starts with belief, but then there's also a different desire towards, do you want to keep your sins, or do you want to be free of sins? And hallelujah, God promises to that, you know, as we discover sins in our lives, we can come, repent, and become fully cleansed of them as the Holy Spirit brings conviction. So maybe you knew that, but God can't be outsmarted. And he promises you new desires and a new heart when you're born again. Because the other thing, too, is like when you turn to Jesus as Savior and you say, help me with my sins, like that's already a heart that wants to be clean, right? People will believe in Jesus and look to Jesus and put their hope in Jesus when they want their heart to be cleansed. So there's a, you know, conviction leads to desire, leads to salvation. It kind of all goes together, kind of down that one track. And then, as I say, the obedience that comes through faith. And, yeah, I'll say this too. For people who are not following Jesus people who are not following Jesus and who want to keep their sin. And as we pray for them too, what they need is not necessarily better behavior. What they need is to find the good master, right? The good master of their lives, Jesus Christ. You can only love one master. And for those who love Jesus, you know, he's the one good master. Because sin is a cruel master. Every other, you know, greed is a cruel master. Every other master is a cruel master. But only Jesus is the good master. Isaiah 54:13. Another promise of the Holy Spirit at work within us. All your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. Okay? So that's the Holy Spirit at work within you. Teaching and instruction, and also peace and reassurance. So as I said in the beginning, some of this might not be new. This is the gospel. This is John 3:16. But I want this to be just a reassurance message, and maybe it even lifts off a burden. And as I pray at the end, as if anyone was burdened, but yeah, thinking they needed to do something for themselves that God has already done, that they would be released of that. And I think as well, like there's some people who, I mean, you don't have, people who are living for themselves, people have the motto like looking out for number one, like I got to take care of myself first. for anyone living that way, and I'm not saying it's anyone here, but if a person lives that way, you know, God is way ahead of you on that one in terms of taking care of you, in terms of, you know, taking good care of you, your eternal destiny. God has already covered that. So one scripture to finish, and then I'll pray. I just want you to all to put your faith in Jesus, be free of trying to prove yourself, see how you're set free now to serve him, because I'm taken care of, everything is done, and just receive the new heart he gives you. So Isaiah 45, 22, this is from the New King James Version. Look to me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the news of salvation, this mighty salvation. And God, we believe it. And we want to really know what that believing is. What is it to put all our faith, all our hope, all our trust in you, in the work you have done, Jesus, for us, and all your promises and all your reassurance, Lord. We put all confidence, we exchange all self-confidence for God confidence, Lord. And we, God, we look forward to the freedom that brings in our lives as well, too. When we know you have taken care of us, that Jesus, you are enough, that you've met all our needs in this life, now we can go forward and serve you, serve your kingdom, serve your people, and make known the salvation that has come to us, Lord. And so, God, I pray we would lay down any unnecessary burdens. If anyone has picked any up today, anyone thought that they had to also accomplish something for themselves on their behalf, Lord, that they would be laid down. And that the truth of the gospel would cause them to lay it down, Lord. Not my words, but your truth would come. And Lord, just teach us as well. Just what does that upward look like? How do we keep our eyes on Jesus in all things? How do we just find him always for reassurance and peace? And not ourselves, Lord. We just want to know just how Jesus is the inspiration for our doing, our vision, our call, our inspiration, our righteousness, our hope, everything, God, with him at the finish line. And God, we pray for those who are following another master, Lord. If there are any that we know, just Lord, as I say that, some people maybe have been brought to mind who think that they're fooling you, who can just sin and then ask for forgiveness and then sin, Lord. But we know that, if you love sin, you cannot love Jesus. And if you love Jesus, you will not love sin. And Lord, so we pray for freedom, that they would find the only good, true, loving master, the one who died for them. So that they could be set free, Lord. So if there's just anyone who comes to mind just as I preach this, Lord, just we pray for them. We pray for their hearts to turn to you, that the light would come, that they would not fear the light coming and exposing their deeds, but they would seek and welcome conviction, repentance, and cleansing in their hearts. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. So we're going to respond with a hymn, which is a new hymn, and which I made as a cautious request. I just said, hey, if you know this song, it'd be a good following song. If you don't know it, that's fine. We're doing it. Actually, I got to sing it with them this morning. It's called Living Hope. Some of you might know it. And it's based on a scripture I'm just going to read from 1 Peter 1, verse 3. And then we'll sing it. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And that's the scripture that inspires the song and the song title.
Finished the end.
Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who sets me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who sets me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your burning body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
We now come together as a congregation with a congregational prayer. Council asked me to draw your attention to the announcements that they have about the request for names and suggestions for the new elders and deacons. So if you can all do that this week and give them some suggestions, that would be terrific. Also, we are going to remember John Van Dixhorn in prayer this morning. He has a spot on his lung that they found out is not cancerous, which they are thankful for, and it can be removed, and he does have to have it removed through surgery, and that'll happen in about 2 or 3 weeks. And then after that, he can continue on with the chemotherapy that he does need. So we'll remember him in prayer. And are there any other announcements or prayer requests that you would like to bring forward? Okay, let us come to God in prayer. God of all creation, we thank you for the gifts from you that enrich each day for us. We are humbled at the wonders of your love. Your amazing world reveals to us your majesty. You guide our way by the Holy Spirit. Help us to remember your enduring presence each moment. Please grant this world a sense of your wisdom and eternal purpose. God, this world needs your justice. May your transforming power move the hearts of the rich and the powerful to act justly to the vulnerable people who experience violence and poverty. We also bring before you the protests in our country, Lord. It affects and hurts many people, Lord, and their livelihoods. Please give guidance that it may be resolved justly. We thank you, God, for those who eagerly work to spread your gospel worldwide. God, we pray for the church. As we entered into your presence for worship today, may we go out of here reflecting your light and glory as a result and bring it out to all. Help us to remain unified in our community and the world, and may your wisdom guide us in carrying out the works of your kingdom. May your presence strengthen all who worked hard in the operations of this church, Lord. We think especially of the leaders that are needed to serve in this congregation and who work to prepare all of us for service. Please raise up those who are equipped to establish and maintain the good order of your servants. We praise you, God, for the wonderful news that our refugee family here in Ingersoll received this week. Thank you that Adnan and Suleiman Dukak, or Afaf Dukak's brothers, have received the permanent resident cards that they hoped for and that they will arrive in Ingersoll safely this spring. God of compassion, we pray for those who need your healing love. Comfort the troubled hearts and minds. Bless those of us who struggle with anxiety or emotional well-being. We know that you can carry us to a place of strength and that you are our solid ground. Grant healing to the bodies of those suffering disease and pain. Bless John Van Dixhorn, who is anticipating surgery soon and hopes to return to the chemotherapy once his body is ready to receive that again. To those of us who are mourning, bless us with your comforting love and presence. We ask all of this through Christ Jesus, who revealed your love to us. Come to us, Lord Jesus. Amen. Today our offering is for the diaconate, and that will be received.
Morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire your songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name. Jesus, in your name we pray, come and fill our hearts today. Lord, give us strength to live for you and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is is a shelter like no other in your name. Let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name.
So we bow our heads. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you look after each and every one of us. You look after our physical needs. We thank you, Lord, and we present these gifts to you to use to the honor and glory of your name. We pray that you will benefit the Diaconate Fund, who looks after many things, who looks after feeding the hungry, who looks after feeding our minds, our bodies, and souls, and are more concerned about the needs of others. We pray that you will bless them to your honor and to your glory. Amen.
Okay, let us recite together the words of the Apostles' Creed, and let's stand as we do it. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Then as the benediction I read to you from Romans 15, 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God's people said, Amen. Our closing song, our doxology, is Today, followed by, I guess I invite people to coffee in the fellowship hall? Okay.
Today I choose to follow you. My yes to you. Today I choose to hear your voice and live. Today I choose to follow you. As for me and my house, we will serve you. As for me and my house, we will spend our lives on you today. Today I choose to follow you. Today I choose to give my yes to you. Today I choose to hear your voice and will serve you. As for me and my house, we will spend our lives on you. Everlasting Father, eternal King, Lord of hosts, willingly we follow. Today I choose to follow you. Today I choose to give my yes to you. Today I choose to hear your voice and live. Today I choose to follow.